All right, let's move forth in our dissertation. Take out your document if you have not already. There are yet some in the back, but I'm assuming those who have been attending that have said don't leave home without it. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Oh my God, hallelujah. We are going to strive and we are going to triumph in the midst of all that are occurring around us. God is in complete control. Always has been. Yes. He was. He is. He will be, because there's no difference between the three. What was, is, what is to be, and they're all one in his decree. How about that? All one in his decree. We had moved to the part 2 section page 32 in your document. Section is the locale of God's creative acts in eternity, beginning of time, of the sphere of time, and we are addressing this because if we ever take creation and occurrences out of time and realize that what's happening in time is not creation or being created, but merely the revelation of what was previously created in his decree in eternity. Please ask it, says there's nothing new under the sun. And that's true in every sense. Let's not look at that star and gaze upon that light that's 100 years old, because the star is 100 light years away from us. Know the difference between actualization and manifestation. Know that nothing is being determined in time, because nothing is really happening in time. It is only being revealed in time. Now, last week we had gone into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Elder Nickerson, I think, is our designated reader. Elder, and everyone else, let's go to that just for a second. We're not going to linger there today. Amen. We got to move on. Amen. We're just in the part 2. There are 10 parts here. And I was telling the brethren this morning, I don't know, maybe it's not my job to go through this whole entire 10 parts or whatever. I don't know at this point. I'm not going to worry about it. But I do know I can't rush through this. It's too important. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 10. Everybody got it? Amen. Now, in addition to that, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. But just to set some parameters, we will make reference to Genesis chapter 1, where we were last week. And I hope we got the understanding now that Genesis 1 and 1 is not creation, but it is the manifestation of creation. All right, Ephesians 3 and 10. Again, everybody, amen. All right, Elder, read.
King James Version. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
All right, let's go to the Greek. Everybody take your Greek interlineas, those that you that happen. And for those that don't, just follow along in whatever translation you do have.
Ephesians 3:10, Greek interlineal. In order that might be made now known to rulers and
now
to
see,
the authorities.
All right, let's clean that up here. In order that we have Greek word noristhi, which should be, it is a subjunctive aorist, might be, haven't been, of course, because we're not going to ignore the aorist tense. Might be, haven't known. So here, this has already been ordered. And as we dealt before, that word akes there. Arches there is the same Greek word archi that we found in some other verses. Remember? We went to John 1:1 and 1:2. And so the primary word there is beginning, authorities and rulers would be the secondary usage that the context called what it is. In this case, they call it rulers because they just couldn't bear to put beginning there because the phrase there is nin tis arches, nin tes arches, which is now beginning. So now can't be the beginning, so they put ruler there. Now the beginning to who? The what? The authorities. Keep reading.
The authorities. In the heavenlies. Through the church. The manifold wisdom of God.
Okay, so here is verse 10 is really falling through on what is said in verse 9. Paul speaks of the dispensation of the grace that was given to him. He spoke of the mystery, and now we are, hopefully everybody that's regular attendee here, you will understand that the mystery is the volume of the truth that is our gospel. That's the grace contract, which is now known in this age, it was not known in the other ages. Here this distinguishes and sets apart our gospel from the kingdom gospel and from the law and from the other covenants. Our gospel and our dispensation is we're in the grace dispensation, and our covenant is the grace covenant, which is different from the new covenant and the old covenant, which is the Mosaic covenant, and of course all the other covenants preceding that, promise and law and those human government and the Edenic and Adamic covenant. As we shall look a little bit at the Edenic covenant this morning, here that has nothing to do with you. In fact, even when we look at that, we're looking at that and bringing in the aggression of what we know in the grace covenant. Amen. So we're not standing down in the midst of the garden. We are above the garden, looking down upon what's happening, and we know everything that's going on, even though Adam and Eve didn't. So here, our gospel basically takes us into the eternal realm. The eternal realm, that is, eternality, is not divided up into sequences, God is timelessness. God is timeless. In eternality, you have timelessness. There are no seconds and minutes and hours and days and months and years and decades and scores and centuries and millennia. There's none of that. Now is the beginning. The beginning is the end, because there's none of this in eternity. And this is important for us to understand that, because when we place creation in eternity and we take it out of time, we solve a lot of problems. And we save ourselves a lot of discomfort and anxiety, knowing where a thing really abides in eternity. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody turn there. Now, set the record straight as far as our doctoral position is concerned. And I have written on it. I don't know whether I've ever given you that document before, but Paul, Apostle Paul, did write Hebrews. That is our doctrinal position. He wrote it to the believing Jews. Did not identify himself, because Paul was not the most popular person among the Jews. And if he had said Paul, an apostle, and they got the letter, what would they have done? You get some mail and you're really not interested in the person that sent it. What do you used to do to the mail? You read it? No. You put it in file 10 or 13 or whatever. You know, waste, there it goes. They call it junk mail, right? Okay, so Paul did not identify himself, but his signature is all over this epistle. Who else could have sent Timothy anywhere to do anything but Paul? Huh? Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, everybody got to say amen.
Yeah.
All right, Elder, you can read verses 1 through 4, and then we go to the Greek text.
Hebrews chapter 1, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word, by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
All right, you missed the part. And upholding all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power.
The word of his power.
Well, we're going to deal with that a little bit this morning.
When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
We clean that up too. All right?
Being made so much better than the angels,
mm-hmm,
as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
All right, now let's go to the Greek.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In many portions.
In many portions. In many portions.
And in many ways.
And in many ways. Now, there are seven covenants, seven gospels in the Bible, if you will. In many portions and in many ways. Read.
Of old God.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Having spoken.
Having spoken.
To the
Father. That's not how he's speaking to us today. of old, having spoken of old. When we read Genesis, and we'll read part of it again this morning, we're not going to go into the garden to get instructions of directions. Genesis raises more questions than it answers. The quickest way to get confused is to read what he haven't spoken to those of old as though he's speaking to you. I was watching on TV last night. Minister was ministering. He was in Isaiah. And he said, now he's specifically talking to Israel, but he's also talking to us. I said, no, he's not. And he had to say that because it said, hear, O Israel. Huh? Now, there's some things there that corroborate. Don't you ever go in there primarily for instructions. Your primary information comes from when he's talking to you. All right, read.
Having spoken to the fathers by the prophets in last days.
In last days. What are the in the last days? In these days, in last days,
in
the last days, in the days that are now,
in last days of these spoke to us in a son whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom indeed
Indeed, here that is, that's T-U-K, through whom indeed. He did what?
He made the ages.
He made the ages. Time is a what? Creation. It's a creation.
Yes.
Here we have the Greek word Epikin, which is aorist indicative. Indicative mood is what? Aorist tense is what? So he created the ages. He created these times. When did he create the ages? In eternity. Now we're going to see why he created the ages.
Who being made, who being the radiance of the glory.
Who being the radiance of the glory, what?
And representation.
Now that, hold it, that word there, karatir. You got representation there.
Of the reality.
No. That Greek word is exactness. They're saying, if you go with that Greek word, representation of reality. No, he is the exactness of reality. See, everything is in God, who is Jesus.
Yes.
If you got to separate the Godhead, then we got problems here this morning. But I think everybody here is on. Everything is in him. Colossians 1, what's it, 1:16? All things were created by him.
In him.
In him. in Him. Do not ever think of creation as materialization. God doesn't have to materialize something or make it concrete, as we say, whether it be a person, a thing, or an event, in order for it to exist. When He decrees it, that is what ontologizes it or brings it into existence. Hear me this morning. God doesn't ever have to materialize it for it to exist. Existence is in Him. Creation is in Him. And you've got to realize that actualization is by or in God's decree. It exists in His decree. There's nowhere else for it to exist. Here that word is exactness of the reality. That was too strong, wasn't it? A full expression. You know, this verse starts out with the word "os," translated "who." And then when you look at the antecedent verses, he's talking about Christ, and Christ is who? It's God. Come on now, we're not going to be shy about that. Read.
Representation of the reality of Him.
That is the exactness of the reality of Him. Keep reading.
And bearing.
And bearing or upholding. Read.
All things.
All. How?
By the word.
By the word.
Of the power.
The power.
Of Him.
His decree. It's by the power. Of His saying. Of His saying. That Greek word there, rhemati. Root word is rhema. A saying. A what is said. There's power in what He says. Oh my God, you all don't hear me this morning. The power is in the decree. What ontologizes or brings things into existence. To materialize it is simply to manifest it for testimony's sake. And that's why He created the ages, for manifestation's sake. So that thing is going down and you're going crazy. Instead of seeing what that thing is for, you're imagining what it is. Of course, imagination is the lightest station in the world. So you're fretting over nothing. You're up all night worrying about nothing. First of all, you can't do anything about it, can you? And your word is not going to help it, is it? No. No. Last week, we don't have time to do. Go into the garden, and there's Adam and Eve, right? Then if you're just sitting in the garden, you're just reading this, you have no more information, God goes off on a to take a rest. He goes away. Devil walks in and he unsettles everything. He messes up everything. Then God comes back and says, what's going on here? If that's all information you got. That's why someone come to me and say, well, okay, I'm new. I just received the knowledge of my salvation. Where do I start reading the Bible? They said, go to Genesis chapter 1. No, you don't. I mean, you go there if you want to be confused. First of all, when you go in there and you don't have no more information that you don't know. You don't know the limitation of the devil's power. And you don't know the unlimitedness of God's power. And you're going to think that at one time Adam was perfect. Which is very unnerving, because they teach that when we get saved and we get glorified, we go back to like what Adam was. If that's the case, then this thing could happen all over again. Never said Adam was perfect. And so, even more than that, you're reading in there and you're thinking that things are being created on the first day. And let's go to the bottom of page 32. Everybody got it? Amen. The basic difference between what is evidence or evinced in the enactment and effectuation of actualization, as opposed to manifestations of the heavens and in the earth, is depicted by distinct realms with their distinct kinds of created beings. Because manifestation of these testimonies are more pronounced on earth, spirit beings were adopted for the... What the angels embodied? What the heavenly angels embodied? Why is the devil embodied? If a thing has to materialize before it is ontologized. So how do they exist if they are not material like you and I are? They're not embodied. By what authority do they exist? That's a rhetorical question. Because manifestations of these testimonies are both pronounced on earth, spirit beings were adopted for the heavens, which are not necessarily embodied. Whereas mankind was manifestly created with a spirit, soul, and body, as other earthly creatures were necessarily fitted as such, material and immaterial natures for earth. Now there are some unscriptural suggestions that the creation of the heavens included the spirit beings and earth all on that first day as designated in Genesis 1 and 5. You see where you don't run to Genesis, you're not ready to go to Genesis without bringing in the aggression of what is known in our gospel and contract. This is viewed by some who aver that there was nothing existing before the earth. So then when you think like that, you go to Psalms 90 and 2, then you're confused. Let's go to Psalms 90 and 2. And that's why you're not ready to go over into the Old Testament until you have some idea. You start in Romans.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're back in the 12th or 11th century, whenever that was, thinking that God was wiping out one third of the earth population with that pandemic because he's upset with someone. Instead of having aggression and knowing that it was the fleas The rats was the carriers, the fleas were the inflictors. So when you go back over into the Old Testament, now you've got the knowledge of our gospel, our contract. Now you have a better idea of what's going on. You see? Well, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, don't pick this Bible up as a novel and you open it and you just, I can just open anywhere and just read. I've heard people say that. Yeah, you know, open anywhere and be confused. Not a candidate to go back over there and Exodus and Leviticus. First of all, in Exodus, that law wasn't given to us. You was a Gentile, you went into worship. You could only, that's like if you came to worship with us today, and the rules were you could only go as far as the lobby, the outer court. So none of that was to you. And it's necessary to say this because as we look at the ministry in the day, they're all over the place. No wonder God's people are so confused. All right, what's that? Psalms 9 and 2, read. Everybody got it, amen?
Psalms 92,
mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Uh-huh.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
No, I must have written that wrong. Before the mountains, where somebody find that? Yes. Okay, where are you reading from? 90. No, the 90th division of Psalm, verse 2. I'm sorry, I take responsibility.
Okay. Verse 2.
All right.
To show forth thy loving kindness.
No, that's not where. Somebody find before the mountains and we'll come back to that.
90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought.
There we are. All right. Read.
Before the mountains were brought forth.
Before. Everybody say before.
Before.
Uh-huh.
Or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world.
And the world. Now, the psalmist who is writing that doesn't have a clue what he's saying. What did Peter say? They wrote according to how they were caused to write. Without knowing what they're writing. But just because they don't know doesn't mean when you go back there that you shouldn't know. But you won't know if that's where you start reading. Now with the ingression of the knowledge from the mystery and what we have been saying, when you read that now, it makes you it's crystal clear to you, isn't it, huh? But if you think that this thing started with Genesis chapter 1, this is going to be contradictory. You see that? Read.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever hast thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
What is everlasting to everlasting?
Eternity.
Eternity. No beginning, no end, no sequence.
Right.
You know what everlasting means? That's timeless.
Right, right, right.
No minutes, no hours, no seconds, no days, no. You see what? So, from this you can see that things reside where? In eternity. But of course, you can corroborate with this, but you have to take the ingression of what you know from your gospel to be able to. To understand what the psalmist was saying, because he didn't understand it. So what do you mean, Pastor? How do you know you understand it? Paul said that this thing was what? Hidden from what? Generations. until it was what? Revealed. That's why it's called a mystery. Not because it's still unknown, but because it was unknown. Let's go back to the document. So now for what we read is convinced is that the heavens and the earth were created by God's divine decree before the manifestation of the first day. You get that? It corroborates, that is, it aligns with rather than contradicts this scripture. Actually, creation of the heavens and earth were actualized in God's decree in the sphere of what? Timelessness. Genesis 1 and 1 merely portrays that the announcement was made with one succinct verse. 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This could be properly termed the initial manifestation of creation, where God's absolute wisdom and power were displayed. What were formed in his divine mind, listen, became the actual external expressions, a manifestations of the heavens and earth by the word of God's power, as we've just read in Hebrews. God's creation was not out of necessity displayed as certification of what he had perceived, but it was for the testimony of his glory through manifesting the creation of man, his fall, and redemption's permutation in the heavens, new heavens, and the new earth. Unlike books written by men that may be read from left to right, or either right to left, God's book, the scriptures, must be viewed as documentation of the manifestation of all things as they were eternally consummated in him. You've got to get this knowledge before you can understand what's going on. I've heard men debating stuff about Adam and the God. He was a free moral agent. That scripture does that. Hey, some theologian that everybody respects, and even the one that I respect, he said man was a free, Adam, man is not a free moral agent, but Adam was one. Where do you get that from? It means he had the ability to said to the devil, no, I'm not going to eat that food. Because if he has obeyed, then the mankind and his progeny would, hey, we would all have been born just like Adam. We were born just like Adam. He was innocent, but he wasn't perfect. And so we have to see that the essence of what God in manifestation and in sequencing for the sake of testimony, because that's the only way we can receive it, is that mankind in his initial, and that's in our next Sunday school lesson, by the way, his initial state was designed in imperfection. When a thing is perfect, it can't mess up. See, we mess around and we will redefine what perfection is. And that will make things shaky, because if we're in the body of Christ, perfect, what's to stop the enemy from coming and say, well, God's going to banish him? Well, hey, if our state is such that we have inclinations to disobey God, how can we call that perfect? Adam was not perfect. Adam was not a free moral agent. You see, bad doctrine beget other bad doctrine. Y'all listen to me this morning. Because if Adam was perfect, if they said, well, didn't, then why did God in eternity, why was the lamb slain? That's right, they teach that he was slain 2,000 years ago. That's the manifestation of it. But then, why would he have the provision of the blood in eternity, if that's the way you want to say it is? Well, that was God's contingency plan. You see, now you got to make up something to cover. If the boat is springing leaks, and every time one springs, you got to try to stop it up. And if Adam was on his own, then God didn't really know what he was going to do. Well, you see, he looked down into time. You see, God created time. God, stay in your gospel. Get that straight before you go back then. Get all mixed up. That was God's eternal plan. And he had to create time to sequence it so he could display it to us.
Amen.
But those who are his elect, though we were initially sinners, are born imperfect in the same decree. Amen. He perfected us through Christ.
Amen. Glory to God.
In his decree. That's all. You can't sequence it. What do you do first? No. It's one decree. You mean you were both lost and saved in the same decree? Yes. Oh, you're saying we were lost and saved at the same time? Forget about time. There is no time in eternity. It's one decree. Oh, my God. In this light, distinction must be made between the original manifested creation of the earth and the subsequent reconstruction viewed as becoming the eternal habitation of some of designated mankind. Not all of it. Some of us don't make it to earth. Hence the beginning of the time capsule. Everybody said time capsule. So we could get this. As we learn these things, then our heart can be sold. The time capsule. Has a beginning. And commensurate sphere of time actually precede the part of time of the 6 days, which give an account of recording beginning, of the recorded beginning, but not the beginning. The Greek word nom is translated day, time, today, forever, age, etc. But it is also used in the sense of a solar day, as it denotes, that is, the outcome of a complex sequence of events, can be determined by the context. Follow me here. The fact that the phrase evening and morning is connected with each of the 6 days of Genesis chapter 1 proves that yoms mean a solar day, not a long period of time, a progressive sequences of manifestations according to postulations of theistic evolution. See, now you're down here and we get you. You see, we don't have to sit down and be arguing with the scientists about anything, because creation is in the sphere of eternity. And so our energy will be in the arena of taking all of this out of time into its proper sphere, which is eternity. And the essence that a thing comes into existence through the power of his word. So now we are not it with anyone. Now this is confirmed by the fact that the seventh day, unlike the preceding 6 days, is not described in the same way. Follow me here. With these impressions, we're able to see things that you cannot see it just standing in the midst of the garden in Genesis. Follow this. There is no evening on the day of God's rest. You ever thought about that? Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I'll be down in about 10 minutes, so I'm not going to go there today. But read it. Take. Somebody said, well, you got to study it. Well, didn't study it. These are things we've got to know. There's so much out there waiting to beat you up and make you miserable. And this knowledge has come to release you. To give you peace. Well, you can sit down at night. I mean, lay down at night and go to sleep. Even if you got a foreclosure notice. You all don't hear me. Are you with me? There are not actually any implied creative acts during the 6 days of the manifested formation of the without form and void earth. Materialization is not creation. Materializing something is forming it for the purpose of manifestation and revelation. In other words, let me ask you a question. Rhetorical question. Where were you in AD 56? I said, Pastor, you are crazy. Where were you in AD 432? Where were you in AD 1050? Where were you in the 15th century? 18th century? Where were you before your birth date? No, where were you before you were conceived in your mother's womb? Somebody said, I didn't exist. And you just call into question what Paul said. Paul said, I was made an apostle from my mother's womb. Huh? And David has really messed you up.
Yeah.
What did he say? El Isaiah. He knew me. And he foreknew me. When? Before I was formed, materialized, conceived in the womb of my mother's belly. Again, where were you in AD 56? In Christ? That's why we think of life as simply what is going on. I'm not going to get through today. I don't know when I get through this. But listen. Your life is not about where you are in these bodies at any point of the time that you're on earth. God has purposed you with a cause for the purpose of testimony. The real you are who you are in Christ. I want everybody to take the next lesson, the next Sunday school lesson. I'm putting as many in the back of you are who you are in Christ. The new creation didn't start the day you sit there and quote accepted Christ. the new creation is in eternity when He chose you and placed you in the body of Christ in eternity. You are who you are in the body of Christ way before you who you are in Revelation, a manifestation in these vile bodies in earth for the purpose of testimony. That's why it didn't matter to Paul. Paul said, testimony. One time he said, over 14 years ago, he said, I knew a man that was caught up above the third heavens. He said, now whether I was in the body or out of the body, he said, I don't know and I don't care. But I was caught up to the third heavens. And what? God showed me. Now he didn't say what he saw. He said it's unexplainable, inexplicable, unalterable. King James used the expression, and I don't know why he used the expression, it's unlawful. And Paul would say, no. Paul would say, the Lord told me you better not tell him what you saw. Paul said, what I saw, human language just can't, oh my God. My God, sometimes to experience all the glorious experiences that God has to us, we've got to go through something. Most of those that ran with Jesus, they did not come to a pretty end as far as the earth is concerned. James hung. Peter hung upside down. Paul beheaded. Oh my God. You read the book of Acts, we see at one point, this is after this experience, Paul is going up to Jerusalem and the Lord warned one of them in a dream what was going to happen to Paul. So they got to go, oh Paul, don't go up there. They're going. Paul said, why are you going to break my heart? It's not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm ready to die for him. Why are you saying that, Paul? Because I realize what physical, earthly death amounts to. It doesn't amount to much. Absent from the body is what? It equals present. Well, yeah, we say that, but you don't hear me. And we sing songs. I go where you want me to go. I do what you want. You lying. You pray, Lord, take all the bumps out of the road.
All of them.
You know how it is. We don't want to go through nothing. You all know I'm telling the truth. We don't want in the modern day ministry, and that's why we're talking about why in our pastor's pen this morning. They know how you feel and what you think. So that's what they, you know, five ways to avoid that thing. But the true ministry is going to come along and tell you, hey, God has set your course. And you're not going to avoid anything that God has decreed for you.
Amen.
So you're either going to go through it rejoicing or go through it complaining. Or kicking and screaming. And crying. And saying how miserable you are. And there you are miserable. And here you are heir of God. Joint heir of that which belongs to Christ. And you're miserable because something ain't going right down here on earth. You all better hear me this morning. And that's why Paul could face whatever. And as God showed him what his course was, that his course had come to an end, Paul said, what? I fought the good fight. I've done what? I finished this course. Paul said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Said, Nero going to chop your head off, Paul. Paul said, hey, I'm willing. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. Because I know what's awaiting me. And now you're talking like we should want a death wish. No. You should want God's wish, or God's will. And that's the way we have to pray. My house is in foreclosure. What am I going to pray? I'm going to pray to the Lord, don't let him take my house. Okay. That's fair. No, that's fair. But don't end that prayer like that. How do we end that prayer? Lord, your will is done. Your will is done. I can petition not to lose my job. Not that I have one, but I can petition not to lose my job. But my other petition is what? Your will is done. You know why? And they don't teach us right. They say, hey, if you pay your tithe and you do this and that and the other, and you serve God. And I heard one preacher say, you can obligate God. I say, you fool. You can obligate God. No, you can't. Only thing God is obligated to is his decree. What he has declared. And it helps you to know that thing is already done. And you can be like Mother Goodlow. There's an operation there. You go and take it, so forth and so on. Say, well, suppose I die in the anesthesia. And I say, please. Why are you worried about something that's already done? If you come through it, that's done. If you don't get through it and you're down operating, that's done. And you're worried about it, won't change it. But our problem is, as I go to my seat, our problem is we're prioritizing what's going on in time. That's not what the action is. The action is in eternity. Because the bottom line is being with him. With him. With him. The ultimate thing and the ultimate see of life is being in Christ. And you're already there. Manifestation wise is the only thing that we're looking for. And so I can sing one day I'm going. That's manifestation now. Where Jesus is. You're already there. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. And I'm going to be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? To meet him in the air. Manifestation wise, I will realize exactly where I am, where I've been all the time. Amen. Give the Lord a praise.